Today, my message, the name of my message is Wanted, Dead, and Alive. I know, it's got a catchy. I was thinking, I think I'll actually name one for once. So, Wanted, Dead, and Alive. If you turn to your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. We're going to read 1 through 14. And if you want to follow along, I'm reading out of the NIV. And we'll go from there. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or do you know that all of us who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into the death in order that Christ, just as Christ raised us from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. Death, he died. He died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Lord, thank you for your word. So it touches on a few things in this passage in Scripture. I read Paul wrote this to the Romans, the church in Rome. And baptism is one thing that, you know, we should all do. And I'm putting a plug in for baptism right now. If you don't know what baptism is an important step a believer makes. It symbolizes the death and resurrection of Jesus. It represents dying to oneself and living for Christ. It is a declaration that one makes saying, I belong to Jesus, I identify with him and not the world. Jesus represents righteousness. The world represents sin. Are you dead yet? Question we all got to ask ourselves, am I dead? Am I dead? But what are you dead to? Are you dead to God? Or are you dead to sin? Because you can't be both. We cannot be both. And as we go further in the scripture, it says, if you break down Romans 6, 11 through 14, it says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been bought from God. Death to life, and the offer the parts of your body as instruments is righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law but under grace. So who or what reigns in your life? Does God reign in your life or does sin reign in your life? And it says, what parts do you offer? Do you offer your body to sin? So what does that mean? Well, here are some examples. Your mind. Okay, think about that. What you dwell on. What do you mostly dwell on? Because when you're putting your mind out there, and if it's always on the world, the worldly things, gaining riches and wealth and partying and doing all sorts of things, is your mind always dwelling on that? The Bible says, so a man thinks, so is he. So if your mind and you're dwelling on it, your hands, these are instruments that God wants to use, but my hands, what does that represent? It represents what you do. What are things that I can do that are wicked? You can steal. You can be violent towards people. You can do wrong by, you know, it's what you do. Your feet. Here's an important one. Your feet represents where you go. Where do you spend your time? Are you out at the clubs partying? Are you hanging out doing sinful things? Where are you going with your life? Where are you going? Your eyes. This is a big one. What you look at. What do you spend your time looking at? So this message is not just for the young believer, but it's for everybody. Because these are things that we got to constantly evaluate daily. What do I look at? Your mouth. What you say. Is your speech like? Am I cursing? Am I just complaining? Anything. Anything that is just opposite of what God wants us to do. My mouth. What I say. Is it being an instrument of sin? Your heart. This is a big one. Your heart represents what you desire. Do you desire the things of this world more than the things of God? Do you desire to have a relationship with the world, or do you really desire to have a relationship with God? God wants us to have a relationship with Him. He does. So in Proverbs 6:17, 6:16 through 19. It says there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to Him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush to evil, a false witness who pours out lies, a man who stirs up dissensions amongst his brothers. To me, that scripture just popped out when I was reading through this, and the Lord said, here, share this, because this describes what offering your body to as sinful, you know, instruments to wickedness. It does. Haughty eyes, lying tongue. Do I lie? How many of us lie? We all say a lie now and then. Even if we think it's innocent or we try to distort the truth a little bit, that's still lying. Are we devising wicked schemes? Are we quick to go to where there is evil, where your feet go? See the correlation? Where am I going? Am I stirring up dissension or trouble, whatever you want to call it? It says, don't let sin reign in your life or master you. And the difference, example I want to give there is Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It says, the Lord says, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not what is not right, sin is crouching at your door, its desire to have you, but you must master it. So the difference between Cain and Abel is Abel offered up the best to God. Cain didn't offer up the best. It's not because Cain didn't have sheep or goats. It was the offering that he was offering was just the leftovers. Where Cain was like, Lord, I give you the best. I give you the best. Then, of course, we know what happened. Cain killed Abel, and things went to. So, how do we remedy this in our lives? Well, right here. We got to be transformed. We have to be transformed. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm going to read it. Here we go. All right. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. So again, what parts of your body do you offer to God? Your mind. Do you dwell on God? Does he take up that space in your skull? Your hands, what do? Now, we all have jobs and we all have things we have to do on a day-to-day basis. But what do you do with your hands? Do you reach out to those who are in need? Do you help your brothers and sisters? Do you do what God has asked you to do? What do you do? Do you spend time with the Lord? That's the biggest part. Where you go. Now, this could be a plug-in for church right here. Yeah, I can go to church. That doesn't make me less of a person than out in the world. It's my relationship with God, but where I go identifies who I am. If I'm spending time doing and going in places that are not filled with sinful activity, then I believe that just shows where you are. Where do you go? I'm not going to the clubs. I'm going to church. I'm going to the prayer meeting. I'm going to these places. Or I'm going to stay at home, spend time with my family. All good things. What I look at? Am I looking at pornography? Or am I looking at God's word? Am I filling my mind with godly things? These are all things we need to really, the contrast. What I say. You know, I can guarantee you, if you hit your thumb with a hammer, you'll find out quickly what's in your heart. You will. It'll either be a cuss word or a thank you, Jesus, or a ah. One of the three. Your mouth, it's important. And in your heart, do you desire God? Do you desire that relationship to flourish? The only way that happens is by doing all these other things, what I look at. If I'm looking at God's Word and reading the Word, am I looking at what God has placed before me in His Scripture and dwelling on that? David said, I meditate on God's Word day and night so that I may not sin against God. Because if you're not dwelling on God, we're dwelling on something else. So there's a conflict that we all go through. The big conflict. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. It says, so I say I live by the Spirit as you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to God and is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit is contrary to the sinful nature. They are at conflict with one another so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So the law represents what sin is. That word keeps coming up. Law. Law. What's the law? Well, the Ten Commandments. We don't know what righteousness is if we don't know what sin is. And we need to know. But why do we struggle? Why is there that struggle? Well, right here, it's very clear. It says, I desire the sinful things. Because I'm not living by the Spirit. So if I'm not living by the Spirit, I'm living by what? Right. You can't do both. This is hard. Everybody struggles with this. It's like, why do I struggle with it? I don't want to struggle. And as you draw closer to God, the flesh dies off more. But it's a daily thing we got to do. So how do we do it? It says in Romans 8, 6. This is Romans chapter 8, 6 and 8. It says, the mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. And then you go down to verse 13. It says, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if you, by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. How do we do it? I think it just told us right there. We need to be reminded of this, that we can't do it on our own strength. We can't. We have to do it by the strength, the Spirit that lives within us. It's through the Spirit. Every time I try to do it on my own, I fail. But when I rely on the Spirit of God, whoa, different result. 100% of the time, you rely on the Spirit, you get what the Spirit wants. Success. You do. So how do we get in the Spirit? We get in the Spirit by reading God's Word. learning what God is saying in His Scripture through prayer, talking with God in relationship. These are key things. So how are you doing that? It's daily. Jesus says, if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself daily, pick up his cross, and follow me. If you're not denying yourself today, what are you doing? You're living for self. Am I living for self? Or am I living for God? Which I can only do through God's Spirit living in me. Hebrews 12:1. The Lord wanted me to plug this in right here. This is for somebody. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Perseverance equals work. It takes work, like anything. Relationships, your job, tasks that you do around the home, it takes work. But a relationship with God, it takes work. You have to be willing to persevere. You have to be willing to lay it down. God has made that path for you. He has set that race for you. You have a race. I have a race. We all are in the finish line. And God has got that crown that he wants to lay on your head and say, well done. You ran your race well. And sometimes we start off our race, we're running really hard, and then we trip, we fall. We get back up and we're limping, and then finally the limp goes away, and then you just keep moving forward. But what's the key thing you got to do is you got to get back up. When you're running and you fall and you're running a race, you want to finish the race. You got to get up and you got to persevere. You got to persevere through that pain of the legs that you're dragging, you know, because you fell. Or you twist your ankle, or whatever it is, but you got to keep moving forward. But the only way we can move forward is fixing our eyes on Jesus. So, how are you running your race? Are you dead? Are you alive? What are you dead to? Are you dead to God? Are you dead to the world? Are you alive to God? Are you alive to the world? Are you? In closing, Colossians 3:1. Through verse 3, it says, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not the earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21 says, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Are you dead? This is something we have to do every day, or we're going to fail. Are you alive? How many want to be alive in Christ? We have to do it daily, friends. We have to do it daily. This is all possible with Christ dwelling in us by His Spirit. What I dwell on, what I look at, where I go, what I say, what I desire, all these things are possible to be done in the right way God has intended it for His glory with Christ dwelling in us. And His Spirit. It's by the power of the Spirit. We need it. If you've never given your life to the Lord, or you are relying too much on your own strength, this is something we all have to do an inventory of daily. Daily. Did I live for you today, Lord? Or did I live for myself? Who are you living for? Are you dead? Are you alive? In which way? Again, dead to the world. Alive to God, alive to the world, or dead to God? So I'm going to challenge you guys. Take and think about your lives and do that inventory. That's what we need to do. It's what we need to do. I'm going to open up just a short time of the altar here for, you know, if you need prayer for anything. So if you get a couple people up here just wants to need prayer, you know, we're going to do it. And then, you know, we'll close with testimony time. So, thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask that you challenge us to evaluate our hearts, our minds, our body, things we dwell on, things we do, where we go, what we look at, what we say, and what our desires are. And help us to desire and live for you. We thank you, Jesus.